My name is Hillary Matthews. I'm 32 years old. Today is June
19, 2017,
and I'm speaking with my grandfather, Don Ehrlich, and we are recording in Cleveland, Ohio. Okay, so first question, do you know the story of why and how our ancestors came to this country?
I don't know why they came, but I know when they came.
Okay.
They came because, I should say, things were very tough in Europe at the time. That's the truth for both our families.
Now what, are you referring to your mom or your dad's family?
Oh, more so to my mom's family, yeah, the Kasperks. Well, I can tell you what my mother told me that her aunt said to her. She said that she went to Vienna, where my grandmother and grandfather, Kasperks, were living. And when she left, she cried because it was so bad. So then they came to this country. But the grandfather, Wendell Kovach, paid for their transportation, according to the documents that I have.
And what about your father's family?
My father's family, I know when they came. They were here, I think they were here first. They came in 1903. And the Kasperks came in 1910. So, but I don't know much about the Ehrlichs. I don't know. I'd like to find out more about them. The only thing I know is that my grandfather on the Ehrlich side was in the Prussian Army. And he was a bugler. And he played at Lincoln Park. He played the trumpet for dances and that. My mother told me that, too. I didn't know that.
So you've always had a musical family?
Well, yeah, even on the Kasperk side, Johann Kasperk, I think he was a conductor with the symphony orchestra, either in Austria or Germany or one of those areas mm-hmm. around there.
So your mother came from Austria?
My mother, she was born in Vienna, okay, but my grandmother on the Kasperk side came from Hungary,
okay.
Gyor. G-Y-O-R, Hungary. And I just found that on a map, and that was very close and not very far from Vienna. But Vienna was the place where young people went to meet. So that was, like used to go to Lincoln Park, or not Lincoln Park, what they used to call that place, where they had the roller coaster.
Cedar Point?
No, this side of Cedar Point.
Geauga Lake?
No.
Kings Island?
No, Crystal Beach.
Oh,
Crystal
I'm not
Beach
familiar.
Was a dance hall.
Oh.
Okay, and that's where young people. And anyway, also, there was another beach out there, too, that young people used to go to.
Did you go?
Yeah, sure. So did your grandma.
not
together.
Not together? Not before you were together?
Yes. Yeah.
Can you tell me about your childhood and what kind of kid you were?
Oh, I was into everything. We lived, it was times were tough. We were born during the Depression. But I was interested in everything, and I was always underfoot. And I think when when my dad got the house and they put the coal bin in, and I was so much underfoot mixing mud and trying to help him with that. And Uncle Vic said, if we don't get this kid out of there, he's going to be cemented into this wall. But I was always there. I was always interested in what was going on.
What are some things, other things you remember from when you were a child?
Well, I did a lot of things on my own. My dad really, he worked on cars, so I learned a lot about cars from him.
And was that his job?
No, he did that as a part-time thing. He was a barber, he was a mechanic, and then he worked at the mill when he got a job out there as a craneman. So then he became an operator on the expander. So, and three seamless.
What about holiday memories, things that you did as a family with your sisters?
Well, you know, holidays with the cast breaks was different than with the Ehrlichs. With the cast breaks, we used to sing songs. We'd always get together on Christmas Eve. We had we always met at Grandma's house.
Your mom's mom?
Yeah. And the Ehrlichs, we would go there on Christmas Day, and we would have a dinner there. But I don't remember singing or anything like that with the Ehrlichs. There was some singing, but, you know, it was mostly done in German or something like that. But not like the Kasprigs. Kasprigs, we used to get together, put arm in arm, and sing Christmas carols and stuff like that. So when I was little, of course, it was a little different because you just kind of watched what the adults did and got in the way.
Did you have a lot of cousins and other family that you saw?
Yeah, well, Patty was born the same year I was born, just a couple months later. And then Sally, I remember them mostly. And then on the other side of the family, Lois was born the same year. And she was born a week before me. So I had close ties with both sides.
Mm-hmm. They all lived in the same area?
Yeah, they did. It's a strange phenomenon, but all the Ehrlichs that stayed in Ohio had kids. And the three that went to California had no kids. Isn't that something?
That is
strange.
Weird.
Never thought about that until recently.
So what was it like for you to be away when you lived in California?
California was nice. I have no objections to living in California, but you know, I met so many people that didn't have families, and you know, they came from somewhere and they had no connections. And after 4 years out there, I said, you know what, we got nice family back here. Let's come back here and share time with them while we can. So That's what we did, and we're still here.
Tell me about your siblings, your relationships with them growing up.
Well, you know, we used to share a bedroom, and I used to pick on my sisters.
You had Darlene.
Darlene and Nancy.
Eddie
came along when I was 16, so that's it.
How much younger were your sisters?
Oh, Darlene was 3 years younger, and Nancy was 5 years younger. So, but I used to, you know, at nighttime, I'd sneak across the floor and try to scare them, and Darlene would always scream, and Nancy would just laugh.
Sounds like someone else I know. My father.
Really?
Well, he said he used to kind of tease.
Really?
Tease
I used to tease my sisters terribly. That was bad. They did it particularly at nighttime. Jeez, my mother used to get so mad.
Did you get along well with them? Otherwise?
Yeah, you know, Darlene was very talented. I miss Darlene because she was not only talented, but she was a very caring person. And even when Riney was doing well
as
a builder, you know, they used to send several kids to camp every year. And, you know, Darlene used to say that, yeah, you know, very seldom do they ever say anything, but she said every once in a while, one kid would come up and say, "Thanks, Mrs. Klingemeyer." It's going to break me up. "Thanks, Mrs. Klingemeyer, for sending me to camp."
I remember her well.
It's funny that I should remember that.
And she was Miss...
Miss Lorraine County when they, or what, they had that Festival of Flowers, or no, it wasn't the Festival of Flowers, that, and what they had at that time, I can't remember, but yeah, she was queen 1 year. And that was Clone Queen too for Avon.
And that?
Yeah. That's she funny. Wanted Vicky to go with her. And the following year, Vicky almost made it. She was runner-up.
Oh, runs in the family.
Yeah.
What about Nancy?
Nancy was kind of a by herself, and I don't really remember much about Nancy. You know, Darlene and I, we used to play duets together. You know, we played one piano duets, we played two piano duets, we played two piano quartets with Agnes Bloom and John Eske. And I think we were the only ones that ever did that, Lorraine at that time, anyway.
Like you performed them?
Yeah.
Wow. Where did you perform?
Well, it was musical arts, and they used to have a program. They would go at Lorraine High School up on the stage, and we played the two grand pianos. That was neat. I enjoyed that. Actually, I never thought about it till later, but, you know, we played music for my age, and Darlene played it. We didn't play music for her age and me play it. So she was very advanced for her age. Yeah, she was very good on the keyboard.
I wish they had that on recording.
We do have some recordings, don't we, Tony? For Darlene playing, I think it's the organ, though.
No, but of you and her in high school.
Oh, no, we don't have any of those. We have nothing of that.
Now, what about, tell me about Eddie.
Well, Eddie came along when I was 16, you know. I took Eddie every place with me. And when I'd go down to the beach, I'd take him, of course, send him over and talk to the girls and all that kind of stuff.
Did he get you in with the girls, having that little...
Well, yeah, you'd say, go talk to those girls over there. And he'd run over there, you know, and he'd talk to them. So we talked to the gals and me and, really, it was Tony's brother. So... Yeah, I took Eddie a lot with me, yeah. Any place that I could, you know, I'm not at nighttime, of course, but.
Was your mom working also?
My mother used to help out at the school, but she didn't have what you would call a regular 9-to-5 job.
Mm-hmm.
But she used to help serve meals at the school and cook and what have you. So that was only, you know, like maybe 4 or 5 hours a day. So, yeah.
Was she a good cook?
My mother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was, yeah. I ate everything she made.
What kind of stuff did you like the most?
Probably chicken paprikash.
Is that the recipe that Nana makes?
Yeah.
That's good.
That is good, yeah. That's been my favorite meal for a long time.
That's one of the most labor-intensive recipes.
Really?
That I make. I don't spend as much time with the baby in the kitchen. It's a good one.
And then, of course, you know, we had spaghetti and all that. And then, what do you got? Stuffed peppers, stuffed cabbage, stuff like that.
Were those recipes she brought from?
Well, some of those were from her mother, really. So, from the Ehrlich side, I don't remember any dishes. Some sauerkraut.
Did they make it homemade?
No. My mother did make sauerkraut. In fact, she made it here. She made it in the crock, yeah. But at that time, we might have made it. I don't know. I really don't know. Very possible.
Talking about when you were a teenager, what advice would you give your teenage self?
I'd say just learn all you can, because you can learn something from everybody. At least I did. Don't talk too much. Listen. I'd say listen at least half the time. Sharon's a very good listener.
Yes, we were just talking about that. Were you there? Yesterday. That's so weird. We just were saying that.
When she talks to maybe that's why people love her so much, because... So sit there, and she gives you undivided attention. She does, yeah. She does that, really. Mm-hmm.
She's the best. Well, so how old were you when your father died?
Oh, geez, I was in California. That was in 1957.
Yeah, that's the year my father was born.
It must have been 58 then. He must have died in 58 when we moved to Reseda. Yeah, because I just started with Lockheed. I was only there a couple weeks, and my mother called and said that there had been an accident, and she didn't tell me all the details, and so we flew home, and he'd taken his own life. So,
were you surprised?
Yeah, but he had tried to commit suicide a couple times, and they say that if somebody does that, they will probably sometime succeed, because once they try it, they'll also try it again. And he tried the same thing several times, but Nancy was living in...
He was in the car with the exhaust?
Well, Nancy went out in the garage, and he was in the car, and the exhaust, from the vacuum cleaner hose was into the car. And so
Nancy
just
found him?
Yeah.
How old was she?
Well, she was 5 years younger than me, so 57, I would have been, 33, 53, that's 20...
20s.
I was about 25, 26, something like that. Mm. So,
Do you know what caused him to want to do that?
Well, my dad struggled with alcoholism for a long time, and we didn't know until after he passed away. My mother and I went through his stuff in the barbershop. He had a barbershop at that time. And found receipts that he had gone to dry out, and they would take him, spend a week, dry out. We didn't know what happened. He just disappeared. And, here he'd spent, $200-$300 or whatever it was to dry out, and then they'd send you home, So all he did really was take your money, dry you out, send you home. So he never really got the attention that he probably should have had. Oh, they didn't know that much at the time anyway. So, yeah, he fought that. He fought that battle, but he lost. He was only 49.
What do you think caused him to drink, to turn to alcohol?
I don't know. You know what? The Ehrlichs, all of them struggled with alcoholism. I don't, Uncle Darrell, that was Aunt Millie's husband in California, he always thought it was because Grandma always made wine. She had a grape, what do you call it, arbor, and in the back of the house. And she made wine every year. She used to make, it must have had two barrels there. And he said every time you go there, she'd go in there, fill up the carafe with wine and set the glasses out and set the wine thing there. And she says, he thinks that's what happened. All the kids became alcoholics. All of them drank at one time. I didn't know that. And the
heavily.
Ones in California was really bad. Millie was really bad. She just wouldn't stay away from it.
Aunt Millie?
I don't know if her name was Mildred or Amelia, but we always called her Aunt Millie.
I thought it was Amelia.
I don't know.
Who just
that.
Passed? The one who just passed away?
That was the Casper.
You're talking about a different Millie.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I had two Millies. I had two Aunt Millies, one on each side. So,
this is kind of taking a different turn, but can you tell me one of your happiest memories, just from your life in general?
Oh, jeez, I don't know.
I know that's kind of a broad question.
Probably the first time you take off in an airplane.
Really? Mm-hmm. So, for the record, you had a pilot's license.
Oh, yeah.
For how many years?
I think I got my license in... So you went out to California, graduated, and what was that? 51, 55, 56, 57. It must have been 1957 when I got my license.
And you used to have an airplane that you shared
ownership
with a friend.
Yeah, I just sold that a couple of years ago.
What got you into wanting to fly?
Oh, I always wanted to fly.
Are you referring to taking off in an airplane that you're driving, or just being in an airplane?
Well, both. I Gee whiz, I still remember sitting on the steps and watching the DC-3s fly to Cleveland.
What year was that?
Oh, gee whiz, I was little. That's in 1936, 37, or DC-3s first came out. And just like my mother said, when she was a kid, if an airplane went by, the whole class could get up and go to the windows and look out.
I love that feeling, too.
Yeah. So it's... I enjoyed it. I enjoyed flying because you're completely free. You know, you're free of everything except that airplane and that engine and that door. So, yeah, I enjoyed that.
Can you tell me about the dumbest thing you ever did in your life?
Oh, geez, I did a lot of dumb things.
You've told me a few stories.
Jumping off and into pond quarry.
Mm-hmm.
We had a tree there at the place on it you could stand and jump in. I did that once, I think. I did that. Jumped off the roof for some reason. I don't know why.
How old were you?
I don't know. I was under 12. Probably about 8 or 9. I don't know why I jumped off the garage roof. It was just trying to fly? No, it had nothing to do with it. I'd just be up on a garage roof and had to come down. Instead of going down and going down a ladder, I would just jump off and roll on the ground.
Did you hurt yourself?
No. I don't even have flat feet.
Well, what else? You guys know you got lots of good stories.
Oh, gee, I don't know, honey. That's not prepared for that kind of stuff.
What about that time you said you were drinking with your buddies and you were driving and you got pulled over?
Oh, well, you know, that's what changed my life. I wasn't drinking with my buddies. I was at the ARS club, which was only 3 or 4 blocks from our house. Wasn't planning to go anyplace, and the barmaid owed me a couple of doubles because I'd pushed her out of the snow or whatever. And I had a couple double headers, and this girl from Amherst came up, and for some reason she felt that I would take her home. So I knew I had drank too much, so I said, "Steve, you better come with me." So we did, so me and Steve and this gal, I didn't even forget her name, but we were driving to Amherst on Cooper Foster Park Road and got to the end there where there was, you know, there, I didn't realize it, but there was a state highway patrol parked there. He saw me coming down the road and I was seeing 4 headlights. That's bad, you know, for every car. So we got to the end of the road. I said, "Steve," I said, "you better drive." He said, "I'm not fit to drive." So he got in, turned left, and the cops came right behind us. They took me to jail. They gave Steve a ticket. I never heard of this. And when he got to the jail, he says, the sergeant says, "Take everything out of your pockets." He said, "Rubbers and all that." I said, "I got no use for rubbers." And so I put all my stuff down there, and the sergeant says to the patrolman, he says, "What are you going to charge him with?" He said, "Well," he says, "make it reckless driving." Gave me my stuff back, drove me home. And after that, I thought, geez, you know what? I better do something with my life. And I think it was within the next week I went to a case and I want to go to school. What do I have to do? And that's how I wound up where I am.
Wow.
Isn't that strange?
How old were you then?
Geez, I was only probably 18. Yeah. Gee.
So that might have been one of the dumbest things, but it turned out to be.
Well,
fortuitous.
You know, we did a lot of dumb things, you know, like when we were in a quarry, me and her brother, Red. Gee, we used to go up to the quarry, and we were only 8 or 9 years old. My mother didn't even know that. And, you know, neither one of us could swim. And I remember going out in a raft, and thought we were close enough to shore, and I jumped off the raft, and it was just over, you know, my nose. So I paddled as much as I could, and I got myself out of the mud that I was stuck in.
Wow, that's scary.
And I could have really drowned. You know, that's probably one of the dumbest things I did. So.
Do you have any regrets?
No, I don't have any regrets.
None?
Yeah, I could have done things better. You know, probably should have followed music a little better. Darlene was very, very good at it. You know, I played in a band for several years. Well, for a year or two, anyway.
You played?
Huh?
What instrument?
Well, I played the piano and the accordion. Accordion for polkas. But you know, Darlene and I played together, and she was so, you know, I used to come home on weekends, and pieces that I couldn't play, like Malagueña, she played Malagueña, and I said, just play that for me. And I would sit down there on the one piano, and she would sit there and play that piece for me. And then I kind of got away from playing that much. Geez, I used to be pretty good at one time. Yeah, well, that's the way life is. Then I met your mother, or your grandmother.
That's actually one of my next questions. What's one of your favorite memories of Grandma?
Well, you know what? I went to school, and, you know, I did pretty well in school. And Lois, my cousin, got married. Tony was in the wedding. And I went to the wedding, of course. And by golly, I was dating another gal at the time. And geez, I just felt that, well, this was the gal for me. And so we got married.
But to clarify, you had known her your whole life.
Oh, yes. 6 years old. Yeah. Yeah.
What about her on that night made you feel that way? Do you remember?
I don't know. You know, they were all dressed up in their nice clothes and all that. And we were at a wedding party and danced a little bit and just started dating after that.
Just had a spark.
Took a couple of years, you know, but finally said, hey, you know, let's get married.
Is that how you said it?
Really? Something like that.
Do you remember how you asked her to marry you?
Yeah, we were sitting in the car in my driveway. And I said, yeah, you know, we're together most of the time. I said, why don't we get married? So we did. So we got married for my last year of college because she was out of school then. So.
Do you remember a favorite memory of her?
Oh, gee. There are so many memories. Jeez. Going out in a boat. We went down a hole in the wall, just her and I, and went down to Lakeview Park. We did a lot of swimming and stuff at that time. Dances. We were together quite a bit, yeah.
Okay.
So there We did a lot of dancing. We went to a few restaurants and stuff. But we went to a lot of dances. She's a good dancer. Of course, her sister was too. In fact, Tony and her sister Janie both were my mentors as far as learning how to dance. Really did.
So that, actually, my next question is, share some lessons you've learn from your relationship. So one of them is clearly dancing, but what else have you learned from your marriage?
Oh golly, I don't know. When you fall in love with somebody, you just can't live without them. So you're really, you know what that's like. Yeah, just feels like it's natural and it was meant to be. So
I remember when I was dating the guy I dated before my husband, Greg. I didn't feel sure about him, and I was asking people who were married did they feel certain when they got married, or were they unsure? And everybody said they were certain about that person. Oh, and that's right. When I knew that was not the right person. But I did feel certain about Greg, of course.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just some kind of chemistry that happens between people. And that's just the way it turned out. I have no regrets.
Do you have any relationship advice or keys to a strong relationship that you would share?
Well, I don't. I'm just not one of those people that gives that kind of advice. I don't know. You know, just everybody's different. But I think you do have to think about, can you get along with this person? Do they ever do anything that causes you to not like them? You know, if that's the case, then you're not well matched.
Well, what about after? Because everyone does stuff sometimes that makes you not like them. No. How do you get through that stuff?
And I don't think we've ever had that situation. Not that I can recall, anyway. The only thing I would say that is annoying is sometimes she gets kind of picky about things. But not to the point. I'm easy.
What's your favorite thing about her?
Oh, I don't know. Just being with her, that's all.
She's a light.
Yeah, she's a light, and she's, you know, I feel like I like to look after her, that's all, to see that she can do what she has to do and help her out. She's just my soulmate, that's all.
That's very sweet. I can hear her now. I wanted to ask you about my dad. Some memories you have of him as a child.
Oh, dear. You know, one thing about, I don't know why this, I don't know if it's true in all cases, but he was always very good about picking up and keeping things picked up and not having a big mess. And the girls tended to really just leave their clothes laid and they're all over the place. He never did that. Even his toys and everything, he put things away. So did I, actually. I think I did.
Natalie is like that, too.
Really?
Meticulous.
I wouldn't say he's meticulous. I mean, I just don't like stuff all in the way where you have to. I hate my barn out there because I got to step over stuff.
Well, who put that stuff there?
I did. I got too much stuff. I got too many interests, really. That's one of the reasons I went into mechanical engineering, because I wanted more variety. I was going to be a chemist. Of course, I never dreamed that chemistry would become so such a big field as it becomes, as it has become, really. The DNA and all that, they're going to unlock a lot of secrets in the years ahead. You guys got something to look forward to. I won't be around. But they are learning. They're learning a lot. So, and I really had the chance to experience a lot of different things. I worked in aircraft. I worked in missiles. I worked in nuclear reactors. I worked for automatic controls. I worked in the aluminum forging industry. Worked in the steel industry.
Wow.
You know, so that's, I really touched a lot of things. My name will never be in the history books, but I participated in a lot of things.
Well, it will be in the Library of Congress now.
That's just like, you know, you think about things like the space race, you know. Well, you say, well, did I have a part? Yeah, I had a big part in it. I tested every component they used in the Discover. I mean,
that's
really good because it's got hypergolic propellants. So as soon as they mix, they ignite. You don't need an igniter. So that's one failure that's eliminated. But that's been the workhorse. So, And, you know, I tested every component that went into it, except for the regulators. Jeez, the guy, he really struggled with that. That was really strange. And you had a situation where from the pressure tank to the regulator, if that was, it was just the right length, that it caused a pressure wave to go there and it would rupture the diaphragm. And it took a long time to figure that out.
You should watch Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
That's a good movie about all that stuff.
That was really strange. Well, no, we're talking about in the late 50s, mm-hmm. 1960s. So.
That's when the movie takes place.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you would love it. Tell me another story about my dad.
About your dad? You know, the story I really remember, you know, of course Tracy was still around at the time, but she said, you know what, Donnie's sneaking out at night. And I said, well, you let me know if you hear him. And so sure enough, I was downstairs and she comes down and she says, Donnie's going out the window. So I went, hurry up, and went outside and I'm waiting. And he comes down the pipe, the drain pipe. He hits the ground and he comes up and he looks at me and he says, there, I'm standing there. That had to be the biggest disappointment he ever had, because he was sneaking out at night meeting his friends and, you know, doing, I don't know what he was doing. So that was the end of that. Yeah, but Don was always, he was always meticulous about things, so could always depend on him. But Tracy was even more so.
Clearly.
Tracy was a self-starter. You know, you didn't have to remind her to do things. She would just do them on her own. So very unusual. So I miss her. But Don, you know, we had a lot of good times. You know, Don, I could depend on, you know, like if we got out in the boat and we came to the gap and for some reason the engine quit. And so I had to hold the boat off the rocks. So I had him get in the water and hold on to the boat, keep it off the rocks while I fussed around with the wiring down there and, you know, and got the motor running again. But that could have been bad. So, but he was, you know, he was very dependable, good swimmer. He's good in the water and things like. Of course, we taught all the kids to swim.
You said he swam from the get-go, right?
Yeah, he did, actually. Gee whiz, we had the neighbor pool in California. Jeez, he could only have been 2 years old. Let's see, 57, 58. He was just a little over 2 years old, and he would say, come on, jump in the water. Right in, and he'd swim to me. Isn't that something?
That's how Natalie is.
He never had any training.
Mm-hmm.
Natalie does that too. Mm-hmm.
She,
really?
She just watches nature shows and turtles in the ocean, and we told her to swim like the turtles, and so she does.
Well, that's what Don did. You know, yeah, kind of like
yeah, pattern. Yeah. But she's got her floaties, but she can.
That was good.
So thinking about your family many generations from now, my Natalie and her kids, know that they might hear this recording. What is something that you want to say to them? Do you have any advice or wisdom, words of wisdom to share?
Well, I think the most important thing is to know that everybody you meet has something that you can learn. And, so being a good listener, I think, is very important, because sometimes we just talk too much and we should listen more. And I've learned something, I think, from everybody. I don't care what level of job they have, you can learn something from them. So that's probably my most, what do you want to call it?
Important advice.
Important advice, yeah. And it really is true, you know, you can learn something from everybody, because everybody has different experiences.
How do you want to be remembered?
Oh, I don't need to be remembered.
You will be.
I'm just passing through, you know. I don't. Well,
I appreciate you doing this interview with me so that I have something to remember you by and can have all your memories to share.
Well, it's very nice knowing that you're my granddaughter, too.
Oh, Grandpa. Love you. You're the best.
You've really developed into a fine young gal, you know, so. And I can't get over that recording. You guys did a good job on that. Is that really you singing on it?
Yeah.
How come you don't sing? You know what? I'm going to tell you something.
I do sing. Maybe you just don't listen.
Maybe I'm just not around at that time. But, you know, it's like in church, you know, the bell choir and the choir. I've been in a choir every place, whether it was high school or college or a church. And I do it because there's no one else to do it. And I think it brings something to the church that you wouldn't have otherwise. It's not that easy getting a group of people together. You know, I'm really surprised. You know, we only have like maybe 200 membership or something like that. And to get you know 10 or 20 people together, you know, to do a singing or whatever, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
Well, I'll sing with you sometime.
Okay.
We started off our relationship together singing. Don't you remember?
Yeah,
can you sing it?
I'm
singing in the rain.
That's right.
Singing in the rain.
What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. Where I'm laughing at clouds so high up above. I've got sun's in my eyes.
And I'm ready for the.
Let the stormy clouds chase everyone from this place. Come on with the rain. I've a smile on my face. And I got the rest.
You know the words better than I do, clearly.
That's been a long time since we sang that, you know?
Uh-huh.
Gee whiz.
I actually almost sang that song for you.
Oh, you know.
Love you.
That was fun when we had all the